Hello and welcome to the Kingdom Living Now podcast. I'm Kenny Heber, your host, and we are still in that series called The Way of the Cross, The Way of the Heart. And in this series, I've been going through some portions of scripture from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapters 8, 9, and 10. And in these portions of scripture, we're going to see Jesus and his disciples today as he started to travel with them towards Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to give his life on the cross. And in any of these scriptures, we've already seen the disciples' challenge in how they see Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus, not just externally, but inwardly from the heart. And we're going to continue doing that as we go through and seeing how they respond to different situations. And as we look at these portions of scriptures, we're going to be challenged also. We're going to look at how to consider, we're going to be considering our own life as we look at the scriptures and look at, let it be a mirror to us to see, are we there? Is it that us? Are we like that? And we see where we're at. And not just externally, but it's really about inwardly in our heart and how it affects our relationship to Jesus, knowing him and seeing him and understanding his kingdom ways. And today we're going to be in Mark chapter 9, verse starting at verse 38, but I think we're going to be going through to verse 50 when it's all said and done. But we're going to be jumping around a bit because this is a really interesting portion of scripture. Well, let's start in Mark chapter 9, verse 38 through 41. We'll read and talk a little bit and then pick up some more on the rest of them. It says in Mark 9:38 says, John said to him, saying to Jesus, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he's not following us. But Jesus said, don't stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterwards to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Here we have John saying to Jesus, hey, we saw this other person. He was casting out demons in your name, and we just tried to stop him because he's not one of us. He's not a part of who we are. Now, to understand all that's going on here, we're going to have to get some history or some context to this little section of scripture and what's after it from the earlier in chapter 9 as they're walking towards Jerusalem. And so I want to give you some of that background, and it really starts to make sense. Now, earlier in chapter 9 is when Jesus takes Peter, John, and James up on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, and they go up there and they watch Jesus get transfigured, and it's brighter, the light brighter than the sun, and Elijah and Moses show up there, and they're there, and they're not understanding what's going on. And after they've gone through that experience, they're coming back down the mountain. But while they're up on top of the mountain, there's the other disciples are there at the base of the mountain, and there's other people coming up to them, and they're trying to get them to get the Father's trying to have the disciples that are left at the base of the mountain to cast out a demon in his son's life. And so as Jesus comes down with Peter, James, and John, they're seeing this argument and this back and forth discussion that's happening, and he's like, what's going on here? And they aren't able to cast the demon out, and the Father is asking Jesus to do it, and Jesus will cast the demon out. And afterwards, the disciples are asking Jesus, like, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we drive that demon out? And he says, it doesn't come out except by prayer. Now, as that's happening, there's that failure on the part of the disciples to cast out a demon, right? And now, as they're continuing on walking on the road towards Jerusalem, Jesus starts to tell them the second time we talked about last episode, where he starts to tell them the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they're going to kill him, and when he's killed, after 3 days he will rise. And they're struggling with that thing, and as they continue on walking, the 12 disciples that they're walking with Jesus, they're arguing over who is the greatest among them, who's the greatest one of them there. And Jesus, as they come to this house and they're in the room together, Jesus asks them this question, like, what were you guys talking about? And none of them want to talk because they know that they shouldn't be arguing amongst themselves who's the greatest, because Jesus already has talked to them about this stuff. But they're quiet, and Jesus is trying to prod them to finally come clean and let them know. And in the midst of this, and they're in that room, they're sitting there being quiet, knowing they've done wrong. Jesus is asking them the question. He's trying to confront them to own up their brokenness and their sin, and they're being quiet about it. And all of a sudden, John says, which we start in verse 38, we just read, John says, "Oh, teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward." Now, so can you imagine this scene that's going on there, right? So there's this history of them not being able to cast the demon out. And then there's this moment where they're arguing over who is the greatest. And Jesus is now in the room with them, and he's questioning them and trying to get them to own up to what's going on. And that brings us to where the scripture we read earlier. And basically, John is saying to Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, there's this guy. He's not one of our crowd. He's not a part of our group. I know he's successful at casting out demons, but he's not a part of us. He's not one of us. He's not part of the crowd or the in crowd. Remember, this is in the context of who's the greatest among them, right? That they themselves know that they're not successful at casting out a demon. And this guy is making them look bad. And John is trying to change the topic. He's trying to divert attention from what they've been doing to somebody else. Now, as Jesus is hearing this, he's having none of it. He's not going to let them shift the blame to somebody else. Like, see, he loves them too much to let them go from changing the emphasis from what's wrong with them, what's inwardly how they're responding to situations. And Jesus brings the response right back to the root issue. That's pride and insecurity. Jesus says, "Don't stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able to soon afterwards speak evil of me." So he's saying, basically saying, the man is not doing anything wrong. This is still about you and the things that keep you from seeing clearly and understanding who I am and the ways that I live and the way the kingdom ways are, the kingdom values. See, this is not just with regard to who Jesus is, seeing him, but seeing who they are, but also who their brother and sister are. And the mission about the kingdom mission is to bring the kingdom rule to people so they can be freed. Remember, it's about being freed from slavery to Satan and experiencing the Father's favor, the Father's heart for them. And that starts with them having a heart for them for God and for the people, just like Jesus had. Remember, this is as a disciple, they're following Jesus, the rabbi, and they're looking to become like their rabbi, and they're thinking the rabbi is a certain way. He's going to be overthrown the government and those things like we talked about. But Jesus wants them to see the kingdom ways, the kingdom values, and how what is on his interest, what is his heart about, and that's people, and that's about freeing people, not enslaving them, but freeing them and empowering them to experience the Father's favor. I like actually just thinking of Luke chapter 4, verse 18 through 19. It's a scripture where Jesus, early in his ministry, is reading from the book of Isaiah, and he's telling the people in the synagogue, and he reads from it, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord," this is Jesus reading it, and he's saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And after he puts down the book and he says, "This is me. I'm fulfilling this." And like Isaiah's what he would have been reading from. It talks about he came to heal the brokenhearted. And so here's the mission, here's the interest of Jesus, and he's living that out, and he's modeling it for them, and they're supposed to be purposed to being like him, and they're now shifting the blame. Their pride and insecurity has gotten them in trouble already about arguing who's the greatest among them. It's not about being greatest, it's about serving others, Jesus said, right? That's what it's about, first of all. And Jesus, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And that's, and he's calling them to do the same thing. And he's seeing them trying to blame other people. And that man they're pointing out was doing, not a part of their group, was doing what Jesus wants to be done. And that is setting at liberty those that are captive, those who have been held captive by Satan's rule, and to be, give them the freedom to actually experience the kingdom rule and come underneath the power and the freedom of the Father. And who do now, think of this, who do the disciples sound like in this moment, right? It's just like the Pharisees that are filled with pride and arrogance of who they think they are. And what, you know, as religious leaders, but they're also insecure. But here, the disciples are acting like and sounding like them. They're developing also this narrow, this exclusivism, where this is their show, right? That's the Pharisee. And they're upset with Jesus. And now the disciples are starting to act just like them. This is our show. Don't make us look bad. And so they're trying to stop this guy because they couldn't cast him out. Now this guy's out doing the same thing, but he's bringing freedom to other people. See, this is about advancing the kingdom of God, not our own. I remember when I was a young Christian thinking about, like, Jesus saved me so he could help me be a better king of my life. No, that's not what it's about. It's not about me being a better king and about advancing my kingdom. It's he is the one true king, and he needs to rule my life and your life. And it's not about our kingdom. It's about his. And God's power was not limited to the 12. And Jesus is saying, whoever is not against us is for us. And in Matthew 12:30, there's another scripture Jesus says, also says the reverse. He says, whoever is against us is not for us. This leaves no room for being neutral. You're either for Jesus and his kingdom and his kingdom way, or you're against him. And he's saying, those that are for us, your brothers and sisters, that's what they are. They're part of God's household, and they've got God's interest at heart. They're our brother and sister, and see them that way. They're not against you either. Now, though this man did not follow Jesus in the exact way that the 12 disciples were at that time, but he stood against Satan, and he was trying to follow Jesus and advance his kingdom, so they should not hinder whoever is for Jesus. As I think about this scripture here, and looking at it as a mirror, looking at as it, and I'm seeing myself here. I see myself here. The reality is, we've all, and I want you to look at it too, think about this, is we all have seen in the slightest differences other Christians and actually spoken ill of them or said they're wrong and just that and held that against them, where they're following Jesus the best they can at that point, just like we are, and they're trying to advance his kingdom. And so we have to be careful about what we say and how we see other people and what we say to them. This isn't a moment to feel shame over it or any of that. I bring this up. This is, we're reading this. The scriptures are there for them to judge us and actually bring us closer to Jesus and walking more like him. And this is a time to identify this. And let's not shift the blame then pointing to other things. Let's not be like John, but let's respond to Jesus' invitation in these scriptures to come to him in this way and where we're at and how we see our brothers and sisters and how they're living out the kingdom rule in their own lives. Let's read Mark verse 9 through 40, next verse 9, Mark 9 verse 42 through 48, which we'll pick up from where we left up before. And Jesus says, for whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to with two hands to go to hell, to unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm it does not die and the fire is not quenched. Here Jesus brings the point home about not dealing with the root issue, which is pride and insecurity. And by trying to deflect to other things, they're trying not to deal with it. But Jesus is saying you need to deal with it. You see, if you're not dealing with that, it brings out this competitive spirit, and we're measuring others against ourselves and ourselves against others, and it's like, oh, who's greater than? And there's this criticism, there's this divisive mindset, he's saying it's like our unwillingness to deal with this may cause little ones. He says there in verse 42, and really that's a picture of the vulnerable, the weak, the helpless. That's how the children were seen, that we can see them as. And he's saying, your unwillingness to deal with the cause of this divisive, this competitive spirit is going to could cause little ones to sin and to stumble. And he says, you do not want to be doing that. And why? He said, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and be thrown into the sea than to do this. This is serious business, this kingdom stuff, and following Jesus. Remember those two questions I mentioned in the first episode and in the second one, that this is about, you know, discovering what kind of Christ is Jesus. That's what the disciples were figuring out. Like, he's different than we thought, and what kind of Christ he is. But it also means, this is about, the question is, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And one of the ones we talked about was denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him. And here he's talking about, we have to be careful that we respond to those things where he invites us to deal with the issues of our heart. And if we don't, and we'll end up taking up this competitive spirit, its divisiveness, and we're measuring against each other and causing division. And he's saying, you don't want to be doing that. And there's a responsibility as followers of Jesus to understand that there's others watching us, especially younger Christians who are just coming to know Jesus and what it means to follow him, that we live the same kind of life that Jesus lived. His interest was to proclaim good news. He was to bring liberty. He was to recover sight. He was to heal the brokenhearted and to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to bring about the Father's favor. So here he's saying we have to understand this is serious business, following Jesus, being a disciple, first coming to Jesus, knowing it's by grace. And then there's a responsibility to become more and more like Jesus. And there is an impact on others' lives by how we live out our lives. Then there's these scriptures that Jesus, where it says, Jesus says, it's better off to cut off one hand, or it's better off to cut off one foot, or better off to pluck out one's eye than to have like two hands or two feet or two eyes to go into hell with, right? Now, that's just a metaphor there. He's trying to, he's not talking about literally self-mutilating yourself to follow him. And that's not what he's talking about. He's reinforcing the demands and the seriousness of what it means to be a follower of him, just like what has struck them when he told them, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. He's saying the same thing here. He's reinforcing this idea to follow Jesus. It demands this seriousness. He's wanting them to remember the call and the cost to follow him. We also have to realize the root cause that Jesus is talking about and getting at here is much deeper than one's hand or foot or eye. It's about being ruthlessly honest with ourselves and to deal thoroughly with the real root issues in our own life. Otherwise, it's going to endanger ourselves and others. Now let's finish this up with looking at verse 49 and 50 here. Jesus continues on with his what he's saying to them. He says, "For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it soft, salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another." Now, there's many thoughts on these couple of scriptures, but I'm going to share just from with my look at it and my thoughts on how I look at the context of this whole chapter and the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus here? He's saying every disciple is going to be living we're living in this in a hostile world. And we're going to be salted with fire. See, the Old Testament sacrifices were seasoned with salt. And the disciples, like Jesus, are living sacrifices. If you're a follower of Jesus, we're called to present our life as a living sacrifice. And he's saying, as a living sacrifice, we're going to be seasoned with purifying fiery trials, which is persecution and suffering. And depending on how we respond to them, the trials will purge out what is contrary to God's will and his ways. And it'll help them see clearer the Lord for who he really is, to see themselves clearly, and to see other believers as who they really are. And we'll start to see the mission and God's interests and our own part in living out our story in continuity with God's greater story. Is what purified the offering of their life to Christ. This is those early disciples. This is part of the process. It purifies us in our offering of our life to Jesus. What Mark is writing here would have really, it's suspected that this was initially went to the church in Rome, and they would have had special, this would have had special meaning for the persecuted Roman church at that time, to help them understand that the purifying fires of persecution that they were and were going to be experiencing were not to be thought of as foreign to their life as a Christian, but it was part of the life of a believer. I mentioned the very first episode that Jesus said, he says to the disciples, he must suffer and he must be rejected. And being a follower, following Jesus, this is part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We're going to encounter suffering and being rejected and persecution. We do not really deal with a lot of that here in America, but that is a part of what it means in some ways to experience that kind of stuff as a follower of Jesus. And here, salt must be understood. It also in the domestic setting, used as a preservative and a flavor. And Jesus is warning that the salt also could lose its saltiness, and that they, as followers of Jesus, should not lose that spirit of devotion and self-sacrifice to Jesus and the gospel of the kingdom. See, Jesus' disciples could only be at peace. He talks about, be at peace with each other. And they could only be at peace with one another where there's going to be this kind of devotion to Jesus and his way and his kingdom values, that they would be willing to self-sacrifice for Christ and his kingdom and for each other. And that's what would prevail against any pride, self-centeredness, self-promotion, and self-interest, is self-sacrifice and willing to suffer, willing to be rejected, that others might know Jesus Christ for who he truly is. And see, then he says, then you would have peace with one another when you live within that realm of self-sacrifice instead of pride and self-centeredness and self-promotion. So let's step back a moment here and look at this scripture and what we've read so far. And see, Jesus loves us too much to let us continue in the ways that would be harmful for ourselves and for others. And the thing is, try to change the topic? So do we try to deflect to other people and what they're doing? Even our own thinking, as we start to think about maybe our own heart, and we point to other people, we have to be careful we don't do that, because we're going to miss the opportunity for Jesus to bring healing and to our brokenness and our sin in our life, and to be free. And he's calling us to be serious about this as he continued on in this section. It's not just about our own life and walking before Jesus. It's that how we live our life and how we respond to Jesus' invitation to deal with the internal things in our heart that impact us, knowing who we are, knowing others in Christ, and knowing his ways, and knowing his mission and interest, and seeing what God is doing in our life, in our everyday life. And he's saying, be careful. This is a serious thing, following me. And what you do could impact others and cause others to stumble. And you don't want to be doing that. That's something you don't want to be doing. And so it's a challenge for us to consider our own life as we look at the scriptures, not just to gain information, not to say, oh, that's what happened to them, but no, to see ourselves. Look at it in the mirror. And it's not, and I say this not to bring up to get into a place of shame and beating ourselves up. No, Jesus is just inviting us to be honest, to allow ourselves to see ourselves in light of his word, and in light as we see the disciples, because we've got to see ourselves in the same, we're just like them, they're just like us. And we're in that place and a process of growing more mature in Christ. And it comes as Jesus continues to invite us by pointing out things and bringing things to our attention. And this is what brings peace, not just for ourselves, but with each other, so that together we can be a witness to Christ and his goodness and the Father's favor and what he wants to show other people by them seeing Jesus through us. So I encourage you to take some time to allow Jesus to show the things of your heart for what they are, and respond to Jesus well in going and being honest and truthful with ourselves, and allowing him to bring healing to that brokenness within. Well, thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and you can learn more about this topic and others by going to my website at kingdomlivingnow.org. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to me through the website. And if you're interested in having me speak at any of your gatherings, whether large or small, contact me through the website. Be blessed.